This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by...
Frida Liu.
There we go.
And Christine Wong.
Yay. And of course, it's clearly Monday. It's been a long weekend. One of those days, isn't it, Frida? She's giving away.
Only for you.
Only for me. Right. If you want to get in touch with the show, don't forget on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. We're with you all the way through until 1 o'clock today. Stories we've got for you today. You may soon be able to control your home with a smart wall. This is something we'll be discussing very shortly. How a Tesla owner will be facing an 18-month ban for leaving his driver's seat whilst engaging autopilot. Six ways employees should think like entrepreneurs. Wrapping up with four super business lessons from Marvel's decade of box office success smash stories stuff. And then wrapping up with some events that we think you might want to check out later on the week. Tell me about this smart wall then.
So researchers at Carnegie Mellon University and Disney Research have developed a way to make your walls smart.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, so they've called this Wall Plus Plus.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they've used conductive paint and a custom sensor board to create electrodes. And they can actually use that to turn a standard wall into a gesture-sensing touchpad and an electromagnetic sensor to detect and track electrical devices and appliances.
So it does what exactly?
So your wall basically becomes like a
giant touchpad.
A giant touchpad slash remote, sort of, I guess. It could potentially monitor activity in rooms, automatically adjust light levels when a TV is turned on or off, or send an alert when an appliance goes off, or even, apparently, track people wearing certain electronic devices that emit an electromagnetic signature. I'm in a place where... Why? I mean, the technology is cool, and we've talked about or heard about conductive paint before,
right,
being used to do things like create, circuits in places that, are a bit difficult to do actual wiring and stuff like that. And that part's cool. But it's a smart wall.
She doesn't sound very impressed, Frida.
Can I get to the last bit there?
Please,
yeah.
No, so it hasn't been optimized for energy consumption. So, at least if that was a feature, could be something.
Yeah.
And there will likely need to be an easier way to install it other than putting a sensor board on your baseboard. But the general functionality seems to be sound. That's what it says. But get ready to stop yelling Alexa and start smacking your wall.
Right. So I watched the video, right? And the video is pretty cool. I mean, they've got this thing where they have the sensors hooked up to a laptop, and then when somebody switches on a light on the laptop, it pops up a little thing saying, the light is switched on. Well, you can see that the light is switched on first and foremost, and they switch the TV on, and it shows them the little thing. The TV is on. Well, I know that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for stuff, I don't know. I mean, I can't, off the top of my head, think of any practical use for it.
Like, the one thing that I could think of is if you want to control things remotely, maybe, where, like, you could, if someone is, a senior citizen who's living by themselves or something, but, like, and maybe they, the sending an alert when an appliance goes off, maybe.
Or sliding your hands against the wall if you've got those fancy closable electric curtains or something.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know, but I'm just sitting here, thinking that there are so many devices now on the Internet of Things, and there are so many things that... Really, at this point, do we need more devices like this? We already have fridges that tweet, and we have, toilets that
flush,
that can connect to the internet
and
tell you, diagnose whatever. I don't know. I'm really in a place where I don't know if a smart wall is a necessary thing that the world needs.
Okay,
right,
well, I'll tell you what. Let's put it out to the audience. A smart wall, right? Breaking it down, there are sensors behind essentially what is a paintwork, right?
Yes.
So it can tell when things are switched on. You could use it as a great big trackpad. What would you use it for?
Right.
Right? Yeah, okay. Given the opportunity. I mean, imagine you are pitching to somebody. This is an elevator pitch. Tell us what you would use a smart wall for.
Yes.
Get in touch. 018-789-8899 or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. This should be interesting. Right. Moving on to story number two. Not so much a smart wall, but a stupid person. So Tesla, as we know, will be one of the first to tell you not to put too much faith in its autopilot, right? We've had issues with this before. We saw the horrible crash not too long ago. It's currently more of an advanced driver assistant than it is a full driver, full self-driving system. However, one driver recently ignored that advice in an idiotic fashion in the UK. His name is Bhavesh Patel. They've even published his name because, you know, people want to know how stupid this fella is. So he received an 18-month driving ban after he was caught sitting in the passenger seat of his Model S on the M1 back in 2017. He said he put on the autopilot and was betting that its amazing self-autonomous guidance would keep the car rolling at the estimated 40 miles an hour of surrounding traffic. He didn't crash, but obviously that doesn't matter. Police noted that what he did was grossly irresponsible and was not just risking his own life, but those of other innocent people. So on top of the ban, he's had to work 100 unpaid hours, conduct 10 days of rehabilitation, and pay £1,800 in prosecution costs. I mean, it almost goes without saying why doing this could be so dangerous, right? Autopilot can keep your car in its lane and maintain a traffic-appropriate speed, but it won't perform evasive maneuvers or otherwise react well in emergencies. There's a question about how long he managed to keep autopilot going, though. So the system requires that you keep your hands on the wheel. Ignore warnings for a minute, and autopilot will not only switch off for the rest of the drive, but, if you continue to ignore it, bring the car to a complete halt. So he must most likely stay in the passenger seat for just a brief period, but it's slightly disconcerting that he had any time to crawl around without autopilot bringing his experiment to a stop. How did he do it is the question, right? So, I mean, a lot of cars, I'm sure that you're aware of this, that if your passenger gets on and doesn't click in their seatbelt, there'll be an alarm going off, right? Because there's a weight sensor in the seat. How did he do this? What a fool, though.
I'm really kind of just sitting
Darwin
here.
Award, absolutely.
Yeah, like, this is why we can't have nice things. Just because you can afford a Tesla doesn't mean that you should own one.
Right.
And does not mean that you should be in one. And definitely doesn't mean that you should be in the passenger seat of one that's, like, on autopilot.
Right.
Like, the whole point, you know, the whole issue with self-driving vehicles and that kind of technology is that it's not perfect yet.
Correct.
That's the whole point. That's the whole issue with why we don't already have self-driving vehicles. It's because not all the kinks have been worked out, and you have to be in a situation where if the self-driving stops self-driving, you have to drive the car.
Right.
You can't just abandon driving the car in the first place, you know?
He was planning a nap.
Right. But let's just take a step back and look at the way in which Tesla have marketed this, though. They've called it autopilot.
Right.
Which I don't think is the best. I mean, it's a great marketing gimmick, but people will assume you switch it on, it will do everything for you. If they'd have called it something like drive assistant or something similar, it might not have all the bells and whistles and sell quite as well, but it's a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, but even planes, right? They're autopilot. Yeah. As well, but then there's still the person sitting behind, and
in case of an emergency.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just it reaches to such levels of carelessness.
Yeah.
That I absolutely cannot believe that this has happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, just because something is called autopilot doesn't mean that you can completely shirk all of your responsibility.
The very fact that you're traveling down a motorway at 40 miles an hour and then you have the nerve to crawl out of the driver's seat into the passenger seat, that is just so dangerous.
I love that he just took it so literally though. It's like, you know, you look at like cup noodles and they're instant noodles, but they're not actually instant noodles, you know. You have to wait like 3 minutes.
Right, you can't just peel the lid off and they're ready.
Yeah, so I mean, guys, just have a smarter head about this. If you can afford a Tesla, actually pay attention to the safety protocols involved, please.
Bhavesh Patel.
Yes. What a silly man. What a silly man. Right, it's time to take a short break. We've got some music coming up from the Get Up Kids. We've been asking you, folks, we started off with a story about how you may soon be able to control your home with a smart wall. We can't think of any use for it right now, but you might be able to. Let us know, 018-789-8899, or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Christine Wong.
Started off the show with a story about how you can have what is essentially a touch wall thing, asking you guys at home, what would you use it for? How would you use a huge touchpad at home? Let us know. 018-789-8899. Does it have any uses? What would you do with it? We're also on Twitter at BFM Radio. Moving on to story number three. Frida, right. Six ways employees should think more like entrepreneurs. We wax lyrical about this all the time.
Okay, so this is an article that I guess came up from Fast Company. I guess when you say think like entrepreneurs, what's the other word for intrapreneurs? You know? So you think like a business owner in an organization. So so this person said what they do in Adobe, one good example is that leaders there encourage employees to present their innovations to more than 14,000 people at the yearly conference, the Adobe Summit. And what happens is that employees then share the innovations to the Adobe products and the audience votes for their favorite one, right? So
Smart idea.
Yeah. Right. And so this is, and she said, to be crystal clear, encouraging the entrepreneurial mindset is not about helping them start a business. Very few people want the risk to be completely on their own. Encouraging the thinking patterns of entrepreneurs within your organization will boost morale and productivity. You know, very simple concept. If I'm being listened to, my ideas are taken into consideration and all that. Right. This guy, Jeff Hillemeyer, the CEO of Dragon Army, is a company that develops mobile strategy and applications, shared his take on this entrepreneurial mindset across all levels of organization. Says most employees of a company wait to be told what to do and often struggle when roadblocks are presented. Now, if they have that entrepreneurial mindset, they'll look to tackle these problems head on and solve the problems creatively. One of the things he says he sees his clients struggle when it comes to emerging technology is the ability to move faster, iterate more effectively, and generally do more. So, you know, it is, you know, so that's really when you are when you're an entrepreneur mindset, okay, what can I do now to solve the problem in an organization? So he said there's some tips here to help leaders embrace these factors of the mindset to drive real innovation and growth. First one is to let go of blame. Employees that are quick to blame someone or something else will be slow to grow. So on the other hand, employees who don't lead with excuses will consistently offer more value to organization. The no excuses people are willing to accept that they don't know everything and they take ownership of finding solutions. So, you know, and I think that's it, right? Because if you're not, if you're afraid to come up with ideas and all, then you're going to get blamed for something. That's one thing that you got to remove. And then people will be more innovative, right, in that sense. The second thing is to create value. Companies are here to create value to customers, to the company, and for their stockholders. So entrepreneurial-minded people know that it's not just about doing the work. They know they have to raise value to a higher level with each project and customer interaction.
So get better over time.
Yeah. Right. And then, OK, the third one is to take ownership. Employees who move beyond responsibility into ownership will find a way even when it's hard. And there will always be obstacles that stand in the way. So leadership that inspires ownership is the prime discipline. Companies are growing fast. It's I guess it's the same thing. Right. You know, if I'm renting a car or if I own a car, you know, it's different when I own the car.
Yeah.
I will take more responsibility because I own the car. Right?
Yeah. You've got to look after it.
OK. Number four is to sell yourself. Successful entrepreneurs know the fundamental need to sell their ideas and eventually their offers. Even inside the company, each person must know how to sell. We're always selling, even when we're not in business development. We must sell ideas to our team and leadership. Those who have skill in selling will grow influence and value to the organization.
Question regarding that one. What happens, though, if there's only that one person constantly trying to sell themselves, you know, and people might get, within an organization, people might get annoyed by that one person, right?
Right.
How do you deal with that? I mean, even if that person is convinced their ideas are great all the time, and oftentimes they're not.
Right. Okay. So I think then the question is to me, why are the rest of you not?
Right.
Right? I mean, it's you ask yourself, so why am I not doing this? When you look at this person, so I should speak up too, and I should also be able to sell myself. So we have to ask this, are we resentful because only one person is able to sell well?
Right.
Right. Then what can I do to be able to sell my ideas well?
It's like the class SWOT. You know, you got somebody who's always, I've got a question. In the back of your mind, you're like, can you just shut up?
Right. Know? But you know,
but really, what you want to be doing is putting your own hand up.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got to ask ourselves that. Okay. So the fifth one is to be resilient. So the journey of entrepreneurship, okay, we know that, is one of ups and downs. Employees who push the boundaries of innovation will feel this as they create what has never been created before. And that mindset allows a resilient employee to get knocked down and get back up over and over again. And it's good as well, right? Because you also want tough people working for you, you know, not mush.
They talk about how failure is necessary.
Right, no? And sixth one is to get accountable. So entrepreneurs, as a rule, incredibly accountable. At the end of the day, if they don't deliver, then their company fails. So from an employer perspective, this can be immensely powerful. So you may be unsure whether this is right for your culture, it might not work for your industry. And since I'll be direct and say this is not the entrepreneurial mindset talking to you, it's the I'm in charge, so I make the decisions that solve the problems.
Right.
Mm. I really like the fact that, you know, all of these lessons are not just applicable to just people who are running their own businesses, and to it's really just about taking initiative and taking responsibility for yourself.
Mm.
So I think, you know, it's important to recognize that even if you're not necessarily like in a leadership position or in a position where you're running something by yourself, you can still learn, you know, some of these lessons and really apply them regardless of what, like, level of the hierarchy you're at.
And leadership at the end of the day isn't a title. It isn't a job title. It's taking leadership of yourself, taking leadership of the situation, right? And then, you know, the title might come a little later. But that, I think, is important.
Helping to point people in the right direction.
And it's good for organizations, right? Yeah. So if you have, if you encourage this entrepreneurial mindset or encouraging employees to be entrepreneurs, it actually benefits the company, right? And know that if I come with ideas, I don't get blamed, it doesn't work or whatever, but we're all in this together.
Right.
Mm.
Okay, time for break. Some music coming up. We've got the Beach Boys with Wild Honey, followed by The Jam with Start. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. And if you do want to get in touch, 018-789-8899. You listen to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Final story before we give you some events to check out later on in the week. Probably my favorite story of the day. Four super business lessons from Marvel's decade of box office success.
Yeah, so unless you've been living under a rock, you know that this weekend, the 19th feature from Marvel Studios, which is Avengers Infinity War, came out, and it is a huge intergalactic superheroic battle that is the culmination of a decade of planning from Marvel.
Mm.
And it's on track to bring in anywhere from $190 million to more than $235 million on its debut weekend alone.
And it cost $300 to $400 million to make, right?
Yeah,
roughly.
So I think they'll be able to cover the cost.
I think they've just about covered their cost.
Just about. So how on earth is the company doing so well? Here are some lessons that you can learn from Marvel's incredibly lucrative playbook. So number one is to focus.
This sounds like Five for Fortune. Mm. Go on.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
this is four for fortune.
Let's just invent one, then he can use it.
Yeah, well, so number one is to focus on making the best product that you can. So Kevin Feige, who is the president of Marvel Studios, says that we never set out to build a universe. We set out to make a great Iron Man movie, a Hulk movie, a Thor movie, and then to be able to do what at the time nobody else was doing, put them together.
Mm.
He says that the secret is that he was trying to just bring the experience that hardcore comic readers have had for decades onto the screen.
Right.
So it's focusing on the product itself and not necessarily thinking, you know, large scale. You're not thinking like, wow, I'm going to change the world with this, but you want your first product to be as good as it's going to get. You want to really focus on that.
I mean, when Iron Man first came out, I think everybody kind of went, oh my, this is very good.
Yeah, you know, I think the superhero
brilliant acting.
Yeah, yeah.
The superhero movies that had come up before then were like, I guess, Blade.
Yeah.
You know,
let's not go there.
And Daredevil and things like that. And it completely flipped the lid, you know, for superhero films out there. So number two is to not be afraid to throw things out and start over. So Feige explained that the kind of modus operandi at the company is to make these like world colliding connections through the films, but if something doesn't fit, they won't try to force it. He says that everyone within Marvel Studios knows that the individual movie trumps the overall picture. If there's a better idea, like if they're going to plant a seed in a movie that was going to be awesome and pay off three movies later, but the seed isn't working, goodbye to the seed.
Right.
So you
so just forget about it.
Yeah, basically it's a kind of a kill your darlings mentality.
Right.
You know?
Even if it costs millions.
Yeah, if it's not working, it's not working, you know? Mm. So number three is to bring in trusted collaborators and let them run with their vision. So again, if you guys have been living under a rock, you might not know that the previous two Marvel films were Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther, which introduced these really idiosyncratic directors of Taika Waititi and Ryan Coogler But in doing that and in making sure that you get these collaborators who can bring in a really unique eye to your product, you know, Marvel empowered these directors to take the superhero genre to really fascinating places, and it's a decision that paid off both critically and commercially as well.
Mm.
Number four is to have a sense of history, but also a willingness to move forward. In order for the Marvel brand to thrive, they need to bring more people into the fold, both on the page and in the audience. So in terms of the comic books, they're doing things like creating more diverse versions of characters. You know, they're creating, for example, there's Miss Marvel. There's also a new version of Iron Man in the comics, who's this 18-year-old African-American girl, that kind of thing. So it's about figuring out all of the touch points that exist within the Marvel ecosystem and then deciding where have we been, where are we now, and where can we go next.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing is it's not necessarily being the straightest of roads for Marvel. I mean, if you look at, let's take Spider-Man, for example.
Yes.
I mean, how many times have they rebooted Spider-Man so far?
Three
right. times so far.
Yes.
But I mean, the whole idea of you can't kill your darling when it's Spider-Man. Though.
Yeah.
You know, it's a character that exists and will always exist. It's about finding the best version of that yeah. Spider-Man, right?
And just on this last point as well, right? I mean, it comes through a variety of platforms, which includes TV, games, and merchandise, right? And these things really matter. If you think about Pirates of the Caribbean,
yeah.
right? That's that was a ride
yeah.
in Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't go with that one. But there you go. You see, and that became a movie.
Right. Yeah, it did, yeah.
Right?
And it did wonderfully and still is selling very, very well.
Yeah, so it's just about, you know, having this idea of where you've been and where you're going next and really trying to make that connection together and not just, you know, hopping on other bandwagons just because everyone else is doing it.
Whereas, I mean, if you take LucasArts, for example, they had a slightly different approach to the way in which they originally pitched Star Wars.
Yes.
When he went to the movie studios, you know, he was saying, I'm going to make this film anyway, but it's not just about making these three films. It's about creating this entire universe. It's about creating merchandise that every single kid on the planet at some point will want to own. And that's how he kind of pitched it and eventually got it done.
Mm.
Right? Marvel, yeah, very clever.
Mm-hmm.
But three times to reboot Spider-Man, I'm still not happy.
Mm. Well, that wasn't their fault. That was Sony Pictures' fault. But I mean, that's not something that I'm going to talk about right now. I don't think we have the time.
All right, it's time to move on to some music. We've got Weezer, followed by the Manic Street Preachers. When we get back, we've got a couple of events that we think you might want to check out. Don't forget, we're still asking you about this touchscreen wall. If you have found or can think of any idea as to how it might be useful, we'd be keen to talk about it. 018-789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. Welcome back. Some events that we think you might want to check out later on in this week. Christine, what have you got?
Right, so I've got the third Young Changemakers Gathering. Chat, pitch, chill.
Oh.
Happening tomorrow, Tuesday, May 1st, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It is 10 ringgit, and you can buy your tickets on PTIX. This is happening at the FAVE headquarters, which is in Bangsar South. Now, this is for people who are just wanting to do a little bit of networking, you know. You can share some ideas, find some teammates or potential collaborations, or just, like, mingle, talk to like-minded people. We'll select three organizations to briefly showcase their latest project, and you'll have the chance to talk to them. Don't worry if you miss out on this month's Young Changemakers Gathering, though. There will be one every month. But, you know, if you're interested in meeting people who want to make change, go check it out.
Right. And it's a public holiday.
It is.
Right.
So and it also is that. Yes.
That too, right? So you forgot. How can you forget?
I forgot.
Next event. Next event is on Thursday, May 3rd from 9 to 5. And this is free. And this is, if you've never experienced what co-working is all about, it's the work co-working space. It's the May Free Co-working Day at WORK, I guess just turn up, right? And bring your laptop, start working productively, and get to know your wonderful community. Nothing for May 4th, May the 4th.
I know, right? Yeah. Star Wars
Star
Day.
Star Wars Day. Actually, yeah. That's when you should just plan your own Star Wars marathon just at home.
Mm-hmm. Again,
not that
every
I'm
year.
Doing that at all.
No.
Not at all.
No, not every year. Right, that's all the time we have for today. But don't forget, folks, if you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast via the app. The app is available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. We started off with
Wall Plus Plus, which is a smart wall.
We then moved on to our Tesla owner faces an 18-month ban for leaving the driver's seat, you idiot.
Pavesh Patel.
Yes.
You know, And a story on 6 ways employees should think more like entrepreneurs. So there's some suggestions on how you can do that.
And we finished off with 4 marvelous business lessons from Marvel's decade of box office success.
Wonderful. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. The Breakfast Grill observes electoral dynamics in the run-up to polling day. Listen to the discussion with our panelists, Ibrahim Sufyan of the Medeka Center and Amir Farid from the KRA Group. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. This has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Frida Liu and Christine Wong, we will be back on Wednesday. Have yourself a lovely break tomorrow. You listen to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.